whole Zman we've been working on Pnimius, starting from getting into the long winter Zman, finding our neshamas, going through Shabbos Kodesh, which we still maybe next week or the week after, we have one more of Shabbos to go. Then we'll be hitting Shoivavim, where we will not be allowing all these recorders here. But we've been finding the Pnimius. Finding that we have a neshama. It says in the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bechadrei Chadorim, he's hiding inside, somewhere deep, so too are neshamas Bechadrei Chadorim. And we found that we've accessed our neshama. The more we're learning, the more we're staying away from bad things, we're starting to find the geshmak in things we didn't. We're starting to feel bad about things we didn't care about before. The neshama's starting to come out. What was bechadrei chadarim, what was in a cheder pnimi, is being found. And now we're going to try to take this towards Hanukkah. I don't like ever changing the topic on people. Even when we hit Hanukkah, we have to understand how this relates to us, and it has a lot to relate to us. We have to understand the message of pnimius by Hanukkah. And it's very difficult what's going on in Hanukkah. The Medrash says in Brachos Rabbah, Choshech al pnei tohoy, the darkest of all the galuyas. Zu Yavon. This is Yavon because it says, Kisvu al keren hashor, Eimanu chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Write maybe like a bumper sticker. You know, in the old days, write it on the horn of an ox. Maybe it's like a bumper sticker. We have no share in the God of Israel. That's what they wanted everyone to write. Tremendous darkness. The question is, this was the greatest light that the world has ever had. Yavon. Yavon is responsible for so many wonderful things, so many developments, so much art, so much architecture. And you'll say that it's all Narishkeit. It's not Narishkeit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the beauty of Yavon. How do I know? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says in Parshas Noach, Yaftel Okim leYefes veYishkoin baOyel Eshem. Yefes, which is the Shoresh of Yavon, right? The son of Noach, who's the Shoresh of Yavon, his beauty, the beauty of Yefes, will sit in the Oyel Eshem. Will sit by us. And leHalacha, if a person were to write a Sefer Torah with Greek letters, the Greek alphabet, it's allowed because of a special beauty over here of Yavon. How could it be that the same people that were willing to accept their beauty, were willing to adapt it into our lives and even into our oil and shame, mamish into our oil, we're bringing a Sefer Torah. I've never seen a Sefer Torah like that. It would be exciting to see a Sefer Torah like that. I for sure couldn't laden from it, but to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views it as having a value, and still it's called Choshech. It's called Choshech. The very people who we accept their beauty and enlightenment, right? Chachma Chitzonis, all of the sciences, they all started over there. We're using these things today. Even as Erlich Yidden, we're using these things. And nevertheless, this is the Spitz Choshech. So we have to try to understand. What I would like to focus on today, which is a very exciting topic, is the topic of beauty. Beauty. This was Yavon's very big thing. If you ever looked at their sculptures, beautiful sculptures, so precise. You could see the six-pack on these muscle men, right? Everything's exact and it's unbelievable. Real beauty. Real beauty. So we have to understand then, what is the role of beauty in the Torah? Because obviously there is a role. Obviously Yavon has a value, and obviously Yavon is still Choshech al pnei tohoy. So let's try to understand the beauty of a face. The beauty of a face, right? That's usually the place that people go to first. A beautiful face. That's what happens. It's natural. You see somebody and you either like their face or you don't like their face. If you like their face, so you're happy. If you don't, you stay away. A beautiful face. The word panim. Panim. Right? The word panim means face. Usually when you take something at face value, right? face value, it's considered very superficial. If you look at anything at face value, right? So you're not seeing what it is. And nevertheless, the Torah doesn't hold that way. The Torah holds that things that are within the face are the world of pnimius. The word panim, which is face, is the same word as pnim, as inside. Just like we said a second ago from the Gemara in Brachas, that the neshama's bechadrei chadarim, it's in the deepest place. I have news for you. The face of a human being, of a yid bifrat, is the deepest part of the body. In fact, Talmidei Chachamim are never supposed to cover their faces. They cover everything. They could even, in the times of the Gemara, have a suitor wrapped around their face, wrapped around their face, like the Baba Sali, if you ever saw pictures of him. That's how the Tanaim and Amoraim would walk around, but never to cover the face. Because the face is a gilui of pnimius. And the Ramban writes in Brachas, on the Bracha of Baruch Chacham Harazim, that there was, if you see, 600,000 yid, and there's a special Bracha. The Ramban talks about the ability of Moshe Rabbeinu to have what's called Chachmas Aparta, to see someone's face and know everything you need to know about them. Know everything you need to know. We're told stories only 500 years ago, the Arizal was able to see, not good. He would look and see the whole Aleph Beis on your forehead, and he would see if a letter was crooked, he'd tell you, you got to fix this, you got to fix that. It's all written on the face. The face is not something chitzoni. It's a davar pnimi ad ma'od. And even more than that, the goyin is not found in the goyin and mishlei. So if you look, you're not going to find it. This is the ksav yad. The goyin and ksav yad. It says on the pasuk, sheker hachein vehevel hayofi. Right? Beauty is fake. It's false. It's nothingness. Sheker hachein vehevel hayofi isha yiras Hashem hitisala. It's all about having yiras shamayim. Yiras Hashem Hitisal, says the Gaon of, this is a mind blower. If you came to Eretz Yisrael just to hear this Gaon, it's worth it. It's available in America, but I don't know who's going to tell it to you over there. Says the Gaon, he says, you know what beauty is? Beauty is important. Beauty is good when it's not a lie. If you have some girl named Sally who's a flake, she never benches with Kavana. She never goes to the Kaisel when she's in seminary. She's just getting froyos every day, right? And she's got a beautiful face. She's a lie! Everything about her is a lie! Sheker achein vehevel ayofi. But if you have Bracha Meira, who's a wonderful Beis Yaakov girl, going to the Kaisel, saying Tehillim every day, saying the entire Sefer, right? In order to be Mechin for her classes. Beautiful. Beautiful, says the Gaon. That's the pshat. Sheker achein vehevel ayofi. When is beauty a lie? When it's nothing. But isha yiras Hashem, a beautiful girl who has yiras shamayim, then it's not false advertising, right? It's not just like they take this broken down car and they put on the outside like a red exterior with fire blazing from the sides, and then you try to turn it on and it falls apart. Right? That happened to a friend of mine. He got a Mustang that looked really gavaldic on the ass. Right? That's false advertising. That's sheker achein vevel yofi. But real beauty, when it's connected with yiras shamayim, there's nothing greater. There's nothing more amazing. And any thinking person has to wonder, why is it that the Torah praises the imahos for being so beautiful? Why is it? Any thinking person has to be bothered by this. Sarah's beautiful. Rachel's beautiful. Leah's, the Einayim of Leah, according to Chazal, Machlokas, are beautiful. Right? Rivka, Sarah, Leah, Rivka, Rachel, why does everybody have to be so beautiful? Why is this so important? The answer is, the Zohar HaKadosh discusses this, and the Zohar discusses why Leah's eyes have to be beautiful, why Rachel's general appearance has to be beautiful, why Sarah. There are all sorts of anhagas. Zakt Rav Shimon Schwab, Ala Torah, he says, we find, Chazal tell us by Rav Yochanan, the Gemara in HaSeicher tells us that Rav Yochanan's beauty was the Shufra de Yerushalayim. The beauty of Yerushalayim. When he was nifter, the beauty of Yerushalayim was gone. What's pshat? What's pshat? He was the beauty of Yerushalayim? Yeah, in those, when we're zeicha, that beauty, the beauty of the outside, is a reflection of something pnimi. Is a reflection of pnimius, not chitzenius. And he says that was the emos. The emos were beautiful because they were a gilui of pnimius. Everything about them, the pnimius was coming out in a beautiful oifen. It was the insides and the outsides, the toichai kabayra, the sincerity and the reality of total beauty. And I found him at Siya Gedayla in the Svarno. Unbelievable. The Svarno says on the pasuk, Vatara Isha Vatelet Ben Vateroso Vateroso Kitovu. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu was good. Right? This is very complicated in Chazal. What does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu was good? Vatitzbeneu Shloshi Rechem. Says the Svarno, Kitovu Yafe. Moshe was good looking. Some people here might have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was ugly. There is such a idea that went around. It's not valid, such an idea. It's based on Chitzainim. There's a story that Moshe was ugly and someone painted him. As far as I'm concerned, there's no chazal like that. Adrava, the Svarno is chalik, but I challenge you to find a makar, and I know where you're going to find it, and I know I'm going to argue that it's not a makar. Okay? But try. Says the Svarno, Kitovu Yafe, Moshe was beautiful. Kimo Kitovais Hena, like we find, right, in Maisa Bracious, when there was, with the Nephilim, when there was these women who were beautiful, they were called Toivas. Raso Yafa Yoser Mimasha Yamurgal. They saw he was exceptionally beautiful. The Chashva Shazayel Tachlus Mechuvan Meis Ritzro. They knew that he was destined for holiness. They knew that this was a message that he was somebody who was going to be great. Ki Amnam Yofi Hatavnis Yorel Atov Mezeg Achomer Vishlemus Akocha Mitzayer. There's nothing greater than beauty when it's set up in its proper way. So you have to wonder, you know, Avraham Avinu. It's a very interesting chazal. He comes, right? He comes to the Mitzrim, and then he looks at his wife, and for the first time he realizes she's beautiful, right? This is a very interesting thing. I mean, I'm sure that the people who believe in covering faces have a field day with this. They love this, you know. First of all, I think it's a raya against them. Right? Because how could he see her if she was under a curtain? I mean, it doesn't say that he opened a curtain. It just says he looked at her. Okay. I don't think we have to worry about this. It's not our nisyayim. But I'll call upon him Avraham Avinu. The Marsha asked, you're not allowed to marry a woman if you don't see her. Right? It's not Ben Adam Mechveir. It's not V'Haftal Rechim Mechveir. There are all sorts of answers to this question. But I want to tell you something that I believe is a pshat. Is a pshat. Avraham Avinu for sure saw his wife. I have no suffix about that. Avraham Avinu saw his wife every morning for breakfast and every day for lunch if he was home and for dinner. No suffix. What's the pshat? Avraham only knew how to see pnimius. Avraham was the person who found kola tarakula in trees, in birds. How did he keep tariq mitzvahs? You know how he just looked at the bria and goes, ah, that's how you make tefillin. Ah, that's how you put on tzitzis. Ah, lulav, esrog, got it. He would look at the bria and zzzz. Everything he would see was pnimi. So for sure his rebbetzin he saw as a sefer Torah. There's one problem. Now we're going to Egypt. Uh-oh. These crazy behemoths, right? Avraham had to take himself out and think like an Egyptian. Whoa, you're beautiful. Huh, a guy would be attracted to you. I never realized that. It's a totally different way of seeing something, right? A person goes to the Beis HaMikdash and someone says, huh, that's a beautiful structure. The Beis HaMikdash, right? It's not a piece of architecture. No. We got to look at it like it's something that has nothing else to it other than externals. Avraham didn't know how to see only externals. Avraham only knew how to see Isha Yiras Hashem Yitzhalo. And we find also that the Navi, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tzadi Beis, a Navi, a prophet, has to be a Bal Koma. He has to have a real presence. right? Why? Why does a Navi need to have Koma? Lufiza, it's Pashat. A Navi's holy side is that he's tapped into something above. He's a representation of something above. And if he's going to represent that, there has to be a beauty there. There has to be something beautiful. Actually, one of my Rebbeim was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Volba Zatzal, the great Mashgiach. And Rav Volba did something which is a big covet for any Talmud. Rav Volba said, I want to use your notes. I'm coming out with a sefer, and I want to use your notes from the Mamarim to construct my Mamarim. You know, that's the best thing. If you ever have a Talmud who takes good notes, right, it's free work. Right? I'm still waiting for that Talmud, if any of you are interested. Anyone, okay. But Rav Volba took his notes, and you could imagine how he felt. And you could imagine how nervous he was about the critique. And months went by, and no response from Rav Volba. Suddenly, I think it was Hanukkah time, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it was Hanukkah. Rav Volba says, I was omid on the Nakuda, the problem with your notes. What's the problem? He says, you wrote everything exactly the way it was. All the information is there. He says, but they're not beautiful. I don't see any beauty in the way you write. I don't see that you captured the beauty of the Shmuz at all. I just see everything that I technically wrote. He said, it says in Birchas Kriyashma, Emes, V'yatzev, V'nachan, V'kayim, V'yashar, right? But what's the last thing? V'yafe. He says, it's true! What's the most important thing? Emes, Yatzev, Nachan, Kayim, but you have to end off with beauty. Something has to be beautiful at the end. If it's an expression of Ruchnius, it has to be beautiful. It has to be something that expresses that Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisala. And I was thinking a tremendous chiddush today, fresh. We say in the bracha of HaMakadosh HaShimcha B'Rabim, I found that people don't say this bracha, and I realized why. I started asking people. They didn't teach them to say this bracha when they were in cheder, or when they were in elementary school, wherever they were. They didn't teach them this bracha. There's a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem HaMakadosh HaShimcha B'Rabim. It's one of the Birchas HaShachar. If you have not said it yet, start tomorrow morning. I've noticed many, many people do not say this bracha. I don't understand. It's a bracha like, there are poskim who say you don't say Hashem Hashem in them, but we poskim. So look at this bracha. Anyway, it says over there a famous song. So if you haven't said the bracha, you're going to know the song. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu, right? It says that there. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu. Umanoim goraleinu mayofa yirushaseinu. And I noticed something I never noticed until today. And I was so embarrassed. I've been saying this bracha for years. It says, Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. Our chelek with the Rabbono Shalom in his Torah is good. Tov. Umanoim yirushaseinu. And it's gishmak. Right? Umanoim goraleinu. Our goral is gishmak. Umayofa yirushaseinu. And it's beautiful. Whoa, I was very excited. You know, when I get into, I'm like, that's how I learn. When I see the word beauty, I'm like, beauty, 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 where do I know the word beauty? And I'm like, I say this every day. What does this mean? Fortunate are we that what we do is good. It's geschmack and it's beautiful. This is exactly what Rav Volba was saying. First, it's objectively good. Tov is something, the Marsha says in Menachos, Tov is not something that is subjective, it's objective, right? The Torah is toiv, right? Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. The Torah is called toiv. Is toiv. Ki lekach toiv nasati lachem. I gave you something that's good. It's objectively good. But aside from that, you should feel geschmack when you learn it, right? They tell us that we're supposed to enjoy our learning. You don't have to enjoy your learning, but learning is enjoyable. That's good for the nefesh, for the nefesh, for the psyche of a person, that it's geschmack. And then it's actually beautiful when you see a shtichel Torah, the way it's supposed to be, when you see what it is, how deep this beautiful Torah is, how everything works out, all of the things, you can go through Shas, Midrashim, and Zohar, and Altz, and everything's one binyan shalem, a beautiful tapestry in front of you. Ma yofe Yerushaseinu, this is gorgeous. This is absolutely gorgeous. It's gorgeous because it's connected. There's a chibur lamala. There's a chibur l'mal, there's a connection. And that's why when it's a tzaddik has what's called hadras panim. He has a shine. He has a shine. Says the Goyin. The Goyin says, ha hadras panim atzmo mibachutz. The hadras panim is yoytzi mibachutz. Vahodu atov shimimenu hadras panim. Says, there's something called hod and there's something called hadar. Hod is that the person is a holy person. And the hadar is that it shines outwards. Imagine shining outwards without the inner. It's a lie! It's a lie. But there's hadras panim. There's hadras panim. So obviously I've done a good pitch for beauty. So now maybe we should all go and, pound the weight room. Right? We've done such a good job. But now we're going to try to understand how distorted these things can really be. Let's look at Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, such a beautiful sight. Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol was famous for his beauty. And the Bas Kesar, the daughter of the Caesar, says, spare him. He was one of the Asara Haruge Malchias, right? We read about this. We read about this in Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av. Spare him. He's so beautiful. And at that point in the story, you're like, wow, she really knows what life is about. This is real beauty, right? And then all of a sudden, they come up with this chap. Hey, we don't need him to be alive. We'll just skin him. Like, and she's like, great idea. Why did I think of that? This is disturbing, but not just disturbing because it's terribly painful, terribly sick. Why is that beautiful? Why would anyone be okay with such a thing? What bichlal is the point of having skin like that? I understand having, you want a stuffed moose head on your wall, right? But Rabbona Dayal Makula, what are you doing? And the answer is, this is the Koach HaTuma of beauty, right here. It's that it could totally be an ends in its own right. There's no chiyus. There's nothing living about it. It's just something totally vain, Rachmana Litzlan. And the Gur Aryeh by Elokim Liyefes, when he talks about the beauty of Yavan, he says, Yavan, you know what they were zochet to? Yavan took care of his father, right? Yefes, who was the shorish of Yavan. The Zeda, what did he do? He took care of his father. His father got drunk, right? He took care of him with his brother Shem. And you know what he's zochet to? Kvura, burial, right? Shem was zochet to tzitzis. He was zochet to Yidin, Klal Yisrael. Shem was really into this thing, right? Yefes came along, and he was zochet to get buried. Whoa, what's going on over here? You know what the Maharal says? Shem was into being a neshama, being a Yid, right? He was the shurish of Yiddishkeit. So he was zochet to tzitzis, an expression of ruchnius. Yefes is about the body. It's about the body. It's all about the body. So, he took care of his father's body, and therefore he gets put very nicely into the ground as a body without a neshama, Rachmana Litzlan. That's what happens when you're menatek, when you separate the body from the neshama. This is exactly what Yavan wanted to do. Yavan wanted to take all what's beautiful in the world and separate it. They wanted that their Greek letters should be not Torah. They wanted it to be separate from Torah. Hashem says if you take those Greek letters and you connect them to Yerushamayim, Isha Yerus Hashem Tisalal, if you take the Yafna Lukim Liyefes and your Mechaber to Oyel Hashem, you can keep it. But as soon as you disconnect the beauty and all the vanity, all the sculptures and all the six packs, and take everything at face value, then there's no hope. And we find any time somebody tries to be too chitzoni, they're in trouble. Any time. The Gemara in Nedarim talks about a nazir. Right? Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik didn't partake in any Ashem Nazir's carbon except for this one yid. What was so special about this yid? How did he become a nazir? Pamachas ba'adam echad nazir min adarim. He came from the south. He was a really good-looking man. He had gorgeous hair, locks, organized beautifully. How could you ruin all this beauty? Amar li roa hayisi la'aba bi'iri. I was a shepherd to my father's stone. Halachti l'malos mayim min amayin. And I went to draw water. V'nistakalti b'bavar shali. I saw my reflection, my face. And I almost took it for face value. U'pachaz ala yitzri u'pikesh l'tardenim in home. He said, you're a looker. If you go to town, they're going to turn their eyes towards you. You are a good-looking fellow. And he said, Ha'avoda, I'm taking all of that, and I'm finding my premius. I'm going to be mashkes at all. Same thing with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef started combing his hair, and then there was trouble. I was thinking, what's the difference between people who are building their muscles and people who are exercising? And the answer is everything. If you see in the gym, the mirrors disappear. There are mirrors in there, correct? I think there are mirrors in the gym. Am I right? Yeah. If you see them disappear, don't think it was Rosh Hashiva. It was me. I'm willing to take the heat. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I want you to understand. If a person goes like this in the mirror, he will be a gorilla for the rest of his life. He has no tikva to ever understand anything that's pnimi. He takes everything as face value. He's a Greek god. That's all he is. He'll never become anything. If somebody looks at the world this way, so chitzoni, and doesn't start getting into pnimi, stop caring how much he looks at, like you see people in the mirror by the showers, like, there's nobody here that cares. Getting ready for Shiduchim in 5 years. Like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on? No chelek. No pnimius. Rachmana litzlan. And I think that's a message of Hanukkah too. It says, Giborim biyad chalashim. Right? You know what Giborim biyad chalashim is? I want to make a showdown one night of Hanukkah, okay? A boy who learns Bein Astarim and a guy who can lift 450 pounds, a bench press 450 pounds. This will be exciting. Okay? It's going to be a Hanukkah story, okay? We're going to get this puny little guy who learns Bein Astarim, gets in there, right? And this big Og Melech HaBashim guy, bum, 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 right? And you know what the yeshiva bachur who learns Bein Astarim is going to do? Doop! Tap him and go, that was the Gilui of Hanukkah. That was the Gilui of Hanukkah. The Gilui of Hanukkah is that everything is a lie. All these scary guys who look like they're the man, like it's happening by them, and they're going and they're doing and they're living and they're being, it's all a lie. They're nothing. They're going to become nothing. They're going to be idiots for their entire lives. They're going to be 80 years old. Their grandchildren won't even want to talk to them. They're going to be so shallow. They're going to be left with nothing. But someone who works on their pnimius can take care of can take anyone down. That's the gilui of Giboyrim Biyad Chalashim. Is that it's all a lie. It's all about finding our pnimius. And I thought something incredible, an incredible chiddush, and this is what I call a hergish, a feeling, because I don't know if it's pshat. I don't think it's pshat even, but I still want to share with you because I love the idea. It's a little bit more chassidish than I'm used to from myself. But just come with me and open up, open your hearts a little bit. Open your hearts. There's a din. We were zochet to Rav Sandler Shlita. He said, the din from the Rambam, that you have to be prepared to sell the shirt off your back. Right? Even the ksus that you have, sell it. Sell it to buy Chanukah Licht. I was thinking, I was bothered by something new that I've never been bothered by. Why are we speaking so dramatically about selling the shirt off your back? Why are you being so dramatic? Just say, somebody who can't afford anything still has to figure it out, and he's got to just make it happen. What's this shirt off the back business? And then I was thinking, you know, imagine he's wearing a Nordstrom's wrinkle-free, right? And he's got a Ferragamo belt with matching Ferragamo shoes, right? And a really expensive Ner Chanukah. He has to be prepared to strip himself from all of this stupidity. He has to take all of the ksus, all of the layers of chitzonius from him and get rid of it. And I really think it's Karav Lipshat. Because if you picture a guy who has no clothes on lighting Hanukkah lift, it looks a little scary. So why would we make this guy do this? I mean, that's really, if you act it out, he basically is in shorts and he's like, Bayamim, Ayim, Basman Azel. Like, what's going on? The answer is no. That's not who you are. You're Pnimi. You're Pnimi. You don't need any of these things. You need the Hanukkah lift. You need the Pnimius. And perhaps this is what it means. Haneris halalu kodesh heim. Right? Haneris halalu kodesh heim. They're kodesh. Ein lanu reshus lishtamish bem elo liroisam bilvad. We can't use them, but we're allowed to look at them. What's this issue? Just, first of all, in kodshim, if you look at something, it's not an isser of being mekabel hana from the thing. That's the halacha. You're allowed to look at things. Listen, you can't be mishtamish at it. You can just look at it. What's going on with all this looking? I was thinking, we heard yesterday so beautifully the autobiography of the Aderis, that the Aderis loved looking at the candles. He loved looking at the lecht. I, when I was younger, one of my great memories, my father used to take me to someone named Rav Rafael Blum, the Kashav HaRav. The Kashav HaRav was a Malach Hashem Svakas. I didn't know from anything, but my dad took me, and we watched the Rebbe stare at the candles. Staring. It was beautiful. There was a Hasidic choir. You know, when you're with the Baal Batim, you also get a nice seat. It's not squishy, right? When you're always on the benches, it's not comfortable. But if you go with the Baal Batim, you know, box seats. It was beautiful. The pshat is the following. Ein lanu reshus lishtamish bahem. Don't think, these are kodesh. But ein lanu reshus lishtamish bahem, ela lirosam bilvad. Look into those neiris and find pnimius. There's a whole world of pnimius that you can see. There's a yofi, there's a beauty in this world that's a gilui shalmala, that's a gilui from up top. There's a world of beauty. Uma yofe yerusha seinu. Just look there. Inside those licht is everything. We've been discussing Shabbos, Rabosai. We've been discussing Shabbos. And I haven't ever let out the secret. Why is it that Shabbos is so holy? You should have all asked me the question. That if Adam HaRishon messed up on Yom Shishi, so then how come Shabbos is such a great day? It should have been broken from the start. Right? Why is every week we're injected with a new chance, a new opportunity? It's a ruined day. No, the Medrash tells us. The Medrash tells us that Hashem kept the light of Olam Haba going all the way, the 12 hours of Erev Shabbos and the 24 hours of Shabbos, equaling 36 hours. 36 hours. These 36 hours are the source of the Lamed Vav Sadikim, the 36 holy people who hone in on those hours. Every Shabbos, those come out. But you know how many Chanukah we light? Zok the Rokeach, the Rishon, we light 36. If you start from day one, count them. 36. Inside the Chanukah licht is Olam Haba. Lirosa, you just look at them and you see into another world of Yofi. And there's a message over here. Rabbeisai, we are here to become Pnimi. It takes work to become Pnimi. It takes commitment to become Pnimi. It takes discipline. You can't afford. People go on these off Shabbases, and they were doing so well, and they do something chitzayni. They try to. They start combing their hair and staring in the mirror because they're looking. They're looking to be chitzayni, Rachman Alitzlan. And the people who are pnimiistic are the people who experience. Hanukkah is a dangerous time for yeshiva bachrin. A lot of people fall during Hanukkah. Do you know why? Because there's a tremendous koach of Yavan in the world that we overcame, which can allow us to be Pnimi. But there's also tremendous beauty out there. The beauty without any message comes on Hanukkah too. All of the kochas hatuma, with no message other than her name is Sally and this and all the narishkeit in the world, will try to attack the Pnimius of Hanukkah. And we have to be shomer on this pnimius. We have to be shomer on the pnimius before Hanukkah. Hanukkah is Sunday night. You can't just come in You can't come in as a Yavani. It doesn't work. But if we ride on this Pnimius of Hanukkah will give us a tremendous light in our Avodas Hashem. It's a Matana. It's a Matana. It's a time to go to our Rabbeim's houses, go to the Rosh Yeshiva, have a Mesiba, have all of the quizzes and exciting fun that we've had over the years, where guys, mamas try to learn new things and get reconnected. And whoever does this will tell me that they saw the Yofi, that they realized the Sheker Achein Vehevel Yofi. All these other ridiculous things that people do are cheap imitations of what's real. Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu Umayofe Yerusha Seinu.